and we have like two 42-inch TVs side by side in the living room with like two Xbox 360s, a PS3, like ridiculous amounts of games, everything, and it's just...
That's nice, you're still late.
Well, welcome to the second episode of the Red Shirts podcast, the belated episode. And this week we've got Daniel Starkey and Abel Gourmet.
Yep.
And hey. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
So let's just get started with introductions
your co-host.
Here. Oh, and Victoria.
She's not important.
She's not important. I actually wasn't going to mention you. I didn't forget.
Oh man, I need to find a new co-host. All right, guys, announcement. So. Podcast. We're looking for a co-host. Auditions start tomorrow.
So Daniel, tell us about yourself.
Okay, so I'm an intern for Destructoid. I'm on the PC team. I also do PR for Microsoft stuff, and I attend the University of Minnesota, and I just moved into a really sexy new apartment with my best friend for forever. So, yeah. Abel. And I just moved in, I mean, like, earlier today.
Yeah. Sweet. So, Abel?
I'm an intern for Destructoid. I work for the SF events team, going around previewing stuff. And yeah, I've just been sitting around my apartment waiting for Daniel.
I am very, very late to the podcast for the audience. Like hours, multiple hours late.
Yeah, it's just for reference, it's 12 midnight Eastern, and we were supposed to start 2 hours ago. So,
I'm a douche. I'm officially a douche.
You are, but that's yeah. Not new. Anyway.
Well, it's new it's new to our listeners. They didn't know that before.
Yeah, and now they have a nice image of Daniel Starkey.
Yeah. He's late to stuff.
Oh God, that's so terrible. Because I'm never late to anything, like ever.
Well, now you are.
Except for this.
Fuck.
And now the whole internet will know.
Nope. All right, so guys,
yeah,
stuff has happened.
Yeah,
recently, a lot's happened.
Oh shit! You mean the PAX thing? Because I totally went to the PAX thing.
Well, there was PAX. News has happened. Some pretty big news, actually. As in the developers of L.A. Noir have the development team is actually the office to shut down pretty much, so that's a thing that happened as well.
They kind
of remember their name because I'm a terrible, terrible news person, huh?
Team Bondi.
Yeah, Team Bondi.
Yeah, Team Bondi.
Yeah, they officially closed the door. Was it? They said they can pay their creditors. Was it or it was something financial?
Yeah,
I remember.
They can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The whole studio got sold to that firm. I cannot remember the name of it right now. And then
it was some guy's name, but yeah, I can't remember it either. And I'm the one that wrote that story, by the way, and I can't remember. So
wait, no. Okay, on the website it says like David Rayfield, right? Yeah, David Rayfield.
It's
No. Like as in David Rayfield posted it on Detoid.
Oh no, there's a different one.
Oh okay.
I think.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's one that Victoria wrote a while back about them being sold.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they were sold, and but the office is officially done. They can't pay their creditors, and it's an actual it's a story on Destructoid that you guys can check out.
That's
so
crazy.
If you want all the information, you can go on there. The fact that they made such a huge game and they're
like it sold really well.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sold extremely well. It's a good game, but...
Yeah. Oh, that... Yeah.
One game in only 7 years, I guess. That was sort of inevitable, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Rockstar was just like, later, guys.
Plus, weren't they getting sued by the employees after those allegations came out, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were getting sued because names didn't appear in the credits, and now somebody else is suing them. A QA tester is suing them for alleged misconduct on their part for him as well. They said they didn't give them their time off for food and stuff, so.
I think the QA tester is actually suing Take-Two, not Team Bondi.
Was that Take-Two?
Yeah, that's a different story.
See, this is what happens when you take medication and then do a podcast.
At midnight.
Yeah, at midnight.
It was scheduled for 9. I wonder how that happened.
Dude!
What are you going to say, Daniel?
If I post pictures of the gaming setup, and it's really as awesome as I'm playing it up to be, will that make up for this?
It won't.
No.
Damn it. How can I make up this?
Anyway, yeah, so that happened.
Persona 4 is going to be on the Vita.
God, all that Persona news.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. Huh?
Oh, there's also the special PlayStation 3 that was announced for the white and gold one.
Oh, for Ni No Kuni?
Yeah, Ni No Kuni.
And that PlayStation looks sweet.
Man, I really wish US got the special edition PlayStations.
I know.
When
special edition anything. Jeez, we don't get anything awesome.
When Final Fantasy 13 came out, I wanted that Lightning PS3 so bad.
I don't remember what that one looked like.
It was like a really light pink. But it didn't look like it was whitish pink. I don't know, it looked so sexy.
I'm pretty much digging this Ni No Kuni one, though. It's white. It's off-white with gold. The PS3 is gold. It's got a little dude in the corner who's gold, and it looks... I want it a lot.
The other news, there's also the whole GameStop on Live kind of screw-up Deus Ex.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you work at GameStop. How does that...
Yeah. Basically, we got, when we came to the store, our store is a bit different because we actually don't sell PC games. We only had copies on PC for people pre-ordered. But, yeah, since we don't sell PC games, the way we did it was we just didn't sell the copies. And, yeah. Luckily, that person never came up. They never had that argument. But other stores, yeah, they're basically opening the boxes, taking out the on live, slip, and, yeah, sealing it back up.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry, like, that kind of stuff makes me so mad. Like, I've been boycotting GameStop for, like, 2 years because, like, I can get kind of anal about this, and I'll completely admit it, but, like, them opening games and then selling them back to me, like, as new is fucked up. Like, if you open the case, I pay $5 less. That is what's going to happen.
It's actually not a used game, that's why.
If you open the case... You have touched it before I did. You have touched the case. I don't know. That drives me nuts. Because in any other place, if you drive a car off the lot, like, no matter how far, unless it was for, like, getting the car to, a lot where it's going to be sold, that's used now. If somebody lives in a house, that is not a new house. And any other thing, if you touch it before, like, you don't go into the supermarket, start touching everything, like, rip open the bread, like... putting your hands all over it, and then sell it back to somebody as new. It doesn't matter if you didn't eat the bread.
Well, that's
not a thing that people do, because I totally do that.
I'm not gonna lie.
Nobody else goes to the store and, like, licks the ice cream, you know, and then puts it back. Yeah, I was like, is that not a thing we're supposed to do? Oops.
No,
I mean, and I used to work at GameStop, so I understand why they do it, so I don't really have a problem with games being opened. What I have a problem with is when a game is opened and then content is removed, regardless of, you know, what the content was or what was going on behind. They shouldn't have done that. Just don't sell them. Don't start taking stuff out.
Also, for the audience, I don't think we mentioned that what was being taken out was basically an online slip. Basically, when you purchased a PC copy of the game, you got a free code to download the game through online. And basically, I think GameStop got mad about that because Square Enix hadn't told them that, and online was, like, their biggest competitor in the digital space. So.
Well, I can get that they're a competitor, but I don't think it's GameStop's business what is in the case. Like,
well, it kind of is their business, because that's their biggest competitor, and they're supposed to like warn them about.
I can see them being upset that it's there, but I don't see them having a right to remove it.
Okay, would you be okay if a PC manufacturer removed like native software that conflicted with like, I don't know, Microsoft's something rather? Like I don't know, like I start thinking about the kinds of practices that GameStop has, and in any other instance, if any other company did that in any industry whatsoever, like we would like crucify them,
except that Daniel, what you have to understand, and what I think a lot of people forget, and I forgot it, I was pretty pissed off about this too, is that we don't know what the contract was between, you know, Square Enix and GameStop, and it's possible that what they did on Square's side by partnering with OnLive was a breach in contract with GameStop. I mean, GameStop might have been totally within their right to do that, or they felt they were, and maybe they went about it the wrong way by doing that and then pretending like they hadn't done anything, but they might have been allowed to do it because of a contract that they already previously had. So, yeah, it's totally how they did it was wrong. What they should have done was just pull all the copies off the shelf and say, look, this is a problem that we need to fix, instead of trying to sell them anyways. But, I mean, they might have not been the bad guy in this. Totally what they did was wrong in how they did it, but we don't know the whole story, so.
That's fair. It's just general GameStop business practices I am not cool with.
Damn you and your logic, Victoria.
Sorry, but it's totally true. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of GameStop, but I understand that, you know, business is business, and we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, so.
Yeah.
The way I actually saw it was where Enix gave them the bird or tried to be slick, and GameStop just gave it right back to them. I mean, eye for an eye doesn't make it right. I agree with that, but I don't know. I'm kind of a mean bastard, as you probably know by now, but yeah, I probably would have done the same thing if I was like in charge.
And I mean, GameStop, I think what GameStop was trying to do was, you know, still get their money out of it. They don't make much money from selling new games, but I think they still make some. So I guess they were still trying to make their money from selling the game. They ended up not, anyways. The rest of the story for our listeners is that GameStop ended up pulling all of the copies of Deus Ex for the PC off the shelves that hadn't been sold, and then refunded anybody who had bought the PC version, gave them a store credit for the amount of the game. So people actually who bought it and did not get their OnLive code got the game for free from GameStop.
Yeah, yeah. And that was so, move on their part, I think.
Well, you know, they're a business and they understood that, you know, they pissed a lot of customers off and they look like a bunch of douchebags, and so they were trying to fix it. So I don't know if they were trying to be nice about it. I'm not giving, you know, I'll stand up for them if it's necessary or if it's right, but I'm not going to give them undue credit. I'm sure it was a business move.
Well, no, I mean, everything is a business move. I expect every person or business to be completely rational and seek their own interests first, but it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. I kind of wish I had bought a Deus Ex from GameStop.
Exactly.
I wish I had money to buy that game at all. I don't care.
God, that game is so good.
Is it?
It is. It's amazing. I'm so behind because of the whole PAX thing, but that's awesome.
So, all right, I get paid on Friday. Should I go pick up a copy, like, without a doubt?
Yes.
Did you like... Okay, no, did you like the original Deus Ex?
I never played the original Deus Ex.
It doesn't matter.
Well, how would you compare it? Like, what kind of other game is it? I heard somebody say it was a mix of Mass Effect and...
For the record, too, I absolutely love RPGs almost as much as I love shooters. Those are my two favorite genres.
It feels like Metal Gear Solid 4, in a way.
Now you lost me.
And well, the game, not the story. Nothing like the story at all. The gameplay.
Okay.
It's completely sane. As far
wait, there's game. There's Metal Gear is actually a game? Since when? I thought it was like, just like one long cutscene after another.
This is true. You do have to walk from cutscene to cutscene, though. Or you have to combat roll from cutscene to cutscene.
Yeah, I thought you just have to get in a box and wait.
But like the stealth gameplay specifically feels a lot like Metal Gear. And then like the RPG stuff is just, I don't know, I guess the like the augment systems and the trees and everything is just really well done. I don't know, nothing wasted.
How about this? I'm expecting to get a copy. My Gamefly copy is finally being sent to me. And I'm really suspect of this game. Everybody's been talking it up, but I have my doubts. Hold on to your money. I will play it and let you know if I think it's terrible.
So basically what you're saying is don't take Liam's opinion, take yours.
Well, that way you get... Because there... I mean, everybody that I've talked to has absolutely loved
that,
it.
That's fair, because...
But I'm just trying to give... I'm saying I'll give you a different opinion. Like,
I'm going to give you a different opinion. I'm an hour of gameplay away from just coming all over my copy, so it's probably fair.
Yeah, he hasn't shut up about it since he's gotten it. Like, that's what he talks about.
Sorry. Can I finish what you were saying?
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just saying that's it. That's all he talks about.
I don't know. That's actually one of the things that I used to love about Destructoid. My new roommate and I were talking about this earlier today. Is that they used to actually do like multiple reviews, or they would have like one person and then like two other people's opinions. Because like I fully recognize that, like, okay, I'm to the point where I watch Zero Punctuation now, not because I think he's funny, but because I know from what he says about the game whether or not I will like it. Like, even if he hates a game, I know I'm familiar enough with the way he looks at games that I can tell, okay, yeah, I'm gonna fucking love this game when I hate it. Like, I don't know, like I love collecting multiple perspectives, and I wish Destructoid would go back to doing that more with their reviews.
So stuff. Kind of like a game Informer thing where they have a second opinion.
Yeah, only I think Destructoid used to do like three full reviews. And like the reviews would end up being like billions of pages long, but maybe I've just caught the dumb and I don't remember properly.
I mean, I kind of honestly, I know the editors at Destructoid are like super crazy, ridiculous, busy forever, but I would kind of like to see that as well, because there have been some reviews where I'll read a review and it seems really positive, and then I'll play the game and I totally disagree with the reviewer 100% and couldn't disagree more.
Sorry.
No, I actually totally agree with Jim a lot. Like, a lot of the stuff
really?
He says, yeah, I mean, I'm not as harsh on certain things, but I also am way more harsh on other things because, you know, he reviews these things and this is just his opinion. He gets the game for free. If I pay for a game and it sucks, I'm going to be pissed about it. And so I'm harsher than he is at times. I think he's a lot nicer than I would be on certain games.
No, I actually completely agree with you. I thought Portal 2 was amazing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that. But I, from somebody who, like, sometimes has to live, like, paycheck to paycheck every now and then, I completely understand where people are coming from when saying, you know, Portal 2 is short enough to not be worth full price. I completely get that because I bought Portal 2 full price on launch, did the whole Steam ARG thing, got into it, blew through it before the night was over. And I ended up feeling like that's it, that's all the game I get for that amount of money. Like, I thought this should last me like at least a week. Like, I want $60 to at least last me 1 week.
Well, there was
so how does it? Sorry, Abel, go ahead. What?
Well,
oh,
the co-op
yeah.
lasted me the next. The co-op lasted me the next night.
So how does it? How do you feel now that it's like half price forever?
At half price, I would definitely say buy it. But at $60, unless you have more disposable income than I did at the time, I would say, you know, be a little bit hesitant. Like, just, I think Jim Sterling at the time was saying, you know, people are complaining that it's too short for the game you get. No, I think it's completely reasonable to be like, 8 hours of gameplay, really? That's not worth $60 to me. Like, I can understand those complaints. Yeah,
I agree. I played El Shaddai a couple weeks ago, and you know, Jonathan Holmes was really nice to it. He gave it a pretty good score, and I disagree with a lot of what he said, especially because I felt it was too short for $60. I beat it in a day, and you know, I rented it, so I didn't have to pay full price. But if I had bought that, if I'd paid $60 for that game and beat it in a single day, and then, you know, I wouldn't be able to get the same amount of money back for the game I had just bought, I would have been really, really pissed. I totally see where you're coming from on that.
I mean, sometimes games are worth $50 or $60, but, you know, maybe only if you have that kind of money to spend. If you're on the lower income scale, you might want to hold off a little bit. Like, I can definitely see that. That's fair. Were we going to say?
Were we saying, Abel?
What was that? Oh, no, I was going to say, I agree with what you guys are saying about, like, how certain games, if it's $60, it should just last, like, a certain while. I don't know, like, lately I've been coming to the mind that maybe certain games can pass just on sheer quality. Like, I thought Portal 2 was a prime example of that, because, I don't know, maybe I just sound weird right now, but Portal 2 is my favorite game of all time, so.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a bit on personal preference.
That's more towards how I'm leaning on it, is that the game was so good that I can excuse.
Yeah, and it didn't take me 8 hours to beat it. Maybe I'm slow, but it took me about a good 12, maybe.
Nah, dude, it totally took me 12 hours, too. Well, you're not slow.
Okay.
I mean, I've played through the game 2 or 3 times by now, also, so, like, well, first off, I didn't pay for the game. I was given a free Steam copy
by
somebody who bought it on PS3. But had I paid $60 for it, I feel like I would have gotten the money's worth.
I actually didn't even pay $60. I paid a little bit less than $50 because I pre-ordered it and got like 10 or 15% off, and I got it on Steam. So, like, I didn't even think it was worth at the time like $40 or $45 that I paid for it. Like, I wasn't pissed, but I was definitely like, damn it.
Yeah, like, you should have rented it.
Yeah, no, I was like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do for the next week? Like, I have nothing else to play while I'm waiting for my new gameplay game. So it's just...
Okay, this actually raises a very interesting topic, and I want to get your opinions on it. Something that's come up recently, and it's come up before, but it's becoming more of a thing now, is the question of, you know, how much you should pay for a game based on length. And somebody from Bethesda, actually, and I can't remember who, and I apologize for that, said that, you know, he thinks that games should not cost as much as they do. A lot of games are too short. A lot of games don't have the amount of content. A lot of games don't have, they're not worth it. You know, Skyrim, he said, is, and, you know, if it's 300 hours, I totally agree. 300 hours of gameplay is definitely worth $60. But a lot of games are getting, you know, games are getting shorter now. People have shorter attention spans. They have less time. They're not going to want to spend 300 hours on a game. They're going to want to sit down, play a game, play 15 hours maybe, and then be done with it. And do you guys think tiered pricing should be a thing that happens with games, like big games?
Absolutely. I don't like tiered pricing, mostly because, like, going back to your argument with the gentleman thing about Skyrim, that may be true for, like, all right, if it's 300 hours, it's worth $50, but conversely, can we say that because it's worth, because, 300 hours, can it be worth, like, $120? And on top of that, what does it say about games like Grand Theft Auto 4, where there's a shit ton of content, but a lot of it's hidden? Like, there were the random encounters with, like random pedestrians in the street. There were a bunch of street races and a bunch of stuff that most people probably never even did, but just because it's there doesn't mean that we could price it more than 60, maybe like 100 even.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's a really good, you know.
Yeah, see, that's the trick.
Crap.
Yeah.
I hope no producers are going to listen to this and say, "Oh my god, that's a genius idea. Why haven't we done this?"
I don't think selling Skyrim for like $120 is ever going to be a viable business strategy.
Here's the thing, though. There are people that will buy it, and if here's the problem with the whole, like, spending money thing, is if a company can get away with it and people will buy it, then they will sell it for more. But that becomes the question, are people going to be willing to spend the money? Like, for a game like Grand Theft Auto 4 or an Elder Scrolls game, I think a lot of people would be willing to shell out more money. Maybe not 120, but maybe like, you know, 80, 70, you know, more money than normal. But then if it starts doing that, at the same time, like a game like Portal or a game like El Shaddai, I think the $30 pricing or the $20 pricing on Portal is good on Steam. You can get on Portal 2 on Steam now for like half price, and I think that's a good move. And I think El Shaddai should have probably been $30. I don't think it was worth $60.
Okay, do you guys watch Extra Credits at all?
On occasion.
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
No, it's been a while since I've seen it. I used to all the time.
At one point, they talk about EA's Project $10, and they actually get into like restructuring how we price games. A lot of it is like, well, you know, maybe instead of like charging customers or like doing a whole bunch of crap in order to keep them from buying it used, maybe just rewarding customers who buy it new by making it like cheaper on the front end and then doing some more stuff on the back end. So like, let's say for example, if the next Call of Duty game was like $25 to $30 at launch, and you get the single player campaign with that, and then in order to add on the multiplayer, you had to pay like another $25 or $30. You would still be paying the same amount if you were going to play both the single player and multiplayer, but if you just wanted one, you could like just get it for that. Like, I really like that concept where you know, people go into like I really like the concept of tiered pricing, but I think it has to be done right, as with everything. And I think that, you know, if we sat down and thought about it, I think we could find like a good happy medium between where we're at and like the other extreme that Abel was talking about, where, you know, you have like ridiculously expensive games just because they're longer or whatever. But like Call of Duty is another example. Like, I would not pay $60 for the single player in that, and I'm not going to play the multiplayer because I don't care about multiplayer FPS. The only thing I play online for competitive stuff is RTS. So that's not something that personally interests me, and I just want the single player. So why not just give me that? I want that.
See, that's a great idea, and I have felt like they should have been doing that this whole time. Once they realized how big the multiplayer aspect of Call of Duty specifically was. But, like, Activision's not going to do that, ever.
Yeah, I know.
Because they'll make a ton less money.
And that's what it really boils down to, is that companies...
What percentage of their...
That's what it boils down to, is companies want the money that they're going to get from selling a game for $60. It might not be worth $60, but that's what they're going to sell it for. And then I also thought of something else. You know, production costs are really high, so selling a game at, you know, $30 might not get them in the black. If they sell a game for $30 and it cost, you know, however much it costs to make it, and, you know, even if people buy it, they don't make enough money for it, then they're out of business.
Well, yeah, okay, but I think just, like, we need to do more research into this, because it's not just like, okay, the same number of people are going to buy it if it's $30 or if it's $60, and therefore they're getting half as much money from it. It's more like you might, you know, double or even triple your audience if it's that much less. You don't know until, like, you actually start getting into, like, market research and figuring out, you know, exactly how much people are willing to pay to get into the multiplayer of Call of Duty. Because, I mean, it might not be, like, $30 might not be where, like, the right balance is. Maybe it's $45, maybe it's something else. But, like, I think having an industry standard where every single game ever is, like, $50 to $60, unless it's a downloadable title in which it's, like, either $10 or $15, like, those are, like, really restrictive price points, and I don't think that allows us to... Like, I don't think that allows the industry to adequately, like, adjust for things. So I honestly think that they could make more money if they sat down and actually did market research, took the time to figure out, you know, where should we place the price on this scale. And I would enjoy seeing that happen, I think.
Well, I don't really know if there's, like, the infrastructure for that, because, like, going back to the Call of Duty example where you can buy single player and multiplayer separately. All right, so how would you, like, sell that then? Like, would you do it download only? Because if that's the case, you're cutting out a huge part of the market that doesn't download games. Let's be honest, like, Call of Duty is mostly like a console game. So, like, how would you get it out there? Because I remember back when Valve was releasing the orange box, they wanted to do the orange box, which eventually came out, and a black box, which was just going to have all the new content in it. The retailers wouldn't allow for that because they only had so much shelf space. So, I mean,
Well, I think that you would do it is just like they mentioned in the extra credits, is it's like you just have, you just look at, you have the whole game. Call of Duty is on one disc now, so all of the content is there. You can have all of the content on the disc, but instead of, you know, like, charging people $60 and then an extra $10 on top of that for whatever, you know, just have both, have the content on the disc and then, like, send, like, have just buy into it online. So you don't have to like download anything. You just get like an unlock code or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Lock out content for a disc that you paid for.
Yeah, see, then that's a whole other mess. It makes complete sense to me. I would support that, but people would say, you know, oh, there's content locked on the disc that I can't access that I paid for, even though the price was half what it normally would be.
Well, and that's the problem, though. You're going to find any time, no matter what they do, people are going to bitch about it. I mean, we're bitching about it right now about how games are too expensive. So
somebody's going to bitch about expensive.
Then it can be worth $60. And I think games like Portal are a prime example of that. Because, yeah, it was short. I agree with Daniel on that point. But it was so fucking good. Like, I don't miss my $60 at all.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, with Oblivion, I've gotten more than $60 out of Oblivion. Oh. And with Skyrim, I know I'm going to get more than $60 out of Skyrim. Like, I know I'm willing to pay $60 even for a digital copy of that game because I know it will be worth it. But
I paid. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you go.
I paid $130 for Fallout 3. Totally worth it. Because I got like the Uber edition with like the
lunchbox.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think you could get the lunchbox if you got the $80 edition. But I also got like the bobblehead and like the Pip-Boy 3000. Like I got the shit, and that was more than worth it. They didn't even need to include the extra crap. Fallout 3 is probably my second or third favorite game ever. Like it's really really high up there, and it was amazing.
But see, hold on. That's the thing that you said you'd be willing to pay $130 for just the game, even without the extra stuff. I wouldn't be willing to do that. I don't have that kind of money just lying around where I can say, okay, well, Skyrim's coming out. I really want to play it. I'm going to throw down $130. If that happened, I would for sure 100% wait for a used copy to come out, wait like 2 years, and then buy it on the cheap. If that's the only way I could play it, then that's what's going to happen. And then, you know, that sucks because then Bethesda loses money. And I would rather give my money to Bethesda.
Yeah. But Fallout 3 lasted me like 4.5 months worth of game. I dropped over 1,000 hours into that thing, explored everything. So to me, that was like 4.5 months worth of regular game purchases. So I would have spent, you know, maybe $300 if I was getting all that stuff new, because that's like, you know, almost 5 months times $60. And so, like, to me, that's definitely worth it because I got so much enjoyment out of that one thing. But.
Okay, so you're saying instead of buying 5 games, you just bought one and it saved you money that way.
Exactly.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, see, right now I'm playing Devil Survivor Overclocked, 3DS, okay? Finally got it yesterday. I'm a few hours in, and I would have paid more than $40 for it. Like, I really would have. But I just don't know if that's really a good avenue to take.
I think it's good. I mean, okay, here's another example. Torchlight 2 is coming out soon. Soonish.
Torchlight 2 is good.
Sorry. Huh? Oh, yeah, and it's going to be... It's $20. That's all they're charging for it. They said they're only going to charge $20. It's for the people. They don't care. Whatever. And I liked the first Torchlight. I thought it was a lot of fun. I played it for a really long time. I'd be willing to pay more than $20 for it. The fact that they're only charging $20, though... Brand loyalty. I am loyal to them because I know that they're charging $20, not because they care about money, but because they care about their fans and they want to make it more accessible to more people.
But okay. Isn't that kind of like making them more money in the long run? Because like now you're loyal to them, you're gonna kind of follow them into the depths of hell or wherever they end up, wherever Runic ends up going in the future. So
yeah,
like,
pretty
I don't
much.
Know.
Right, but that works that way for smaller companies. But I think it wouldn't make that much of a dent with a company like Activision.
No,
yeah,
it wouldn't. Like I think people are going to spend however much it costs to play Call of Duty every year. Like they don't have to do anything to gain that loyalty. Yeah.
Okay, right. So that was a really good discussion. I'm going to move it along now. Let's talk about real quick because we have questions and I want to get to those. But real quick, what have you guys been playing? Go. I mean, Liam, I know you've been playing Devil Survivor Overclocked and Deus Ex because you said it
a million times.
So, Daniel and Abel, go.
Not at the same time. Daniel.
Okay. Well, I played all of the things at PAX. Not really. I was with Max Scoville and Jim Sterling when they did Skyrim. That looked fucking awesome.
Were they really giggling like girls?
They totally were. I actually tweeted about it like as it was happening. It's like, holy shit, Jim Sterling's torching butterflies. This is freaking awesome. Because they were like hunting them down just to kill butterflies. It's like, these guys are just fucking sadistic. It's like perfectly fit their personality. It was awesome. I played Torchlight 2. My preview is almost done of that, so that should be going up soon. I already did a preview of Firefall. That's actually really surprising, surprisingly good, and I kind of can't wait for that to come out. And then what was the other thing I played? Oh yeah, Blacklight Retribution. That was all right. And then like a host of the PAX 10, the indie games at PAX were so much better than anything on the show floor. I think they rocked it. Like it's just great.
This is important. This is the most important question I will ask you all night. Did you play Fez? Please tell me you played Fez.
Are you fucking kidding me? It's amazing. I sat down and it just kind of like melted into the chair. Like it was just, it was so relaxing and peaceful and refreshing and just great. All the indie games at the PAX 10 were great, pretty much. Like Fez was good. Fez was amazing. But Solar 2, which is another one of the games that was there, I sat down and then 30 minutes later, like the lead developer like poked me and was like, did you blink? Like, are you okay? I just lost myself. And you can like start as an asteroid and then become a planet and then a star and then eventually a black hole and then it cause the end of the universe and then it like is reborn again. It's just delicious. Like everything there was awesome. That's my thing. And then I've also been playing Deus Ex, but whatever.
Okay, what about you, Abel? What have you been playing?
Nothing really. I'm about to buy the Dragon Age 2 Legacy DLC tomorrow, but that won't last long from what the reviews say.
Let me know if that's any good, because I really wanted to play it, but I've been hearing mixed reviews about it, and I don't want to put down money on it if it's going to be disappointing, because I love Mass Effect, and I think their DLC is fantastic. I'm kind of not as enthusiastic about Dragon Age DLC, so...
Did you like Arrival?
Oh my god, it was so good.
Really? I thought it was terrible.
It was a little weird, but the enemies, I was totally not expecting the enemies to actually do stuff. And so, you know, a lot of Mass Effect 2 is you get to cover as quickly as you can, and you just sit there and wait and pick them off.
Yeah.
And I found, you know, they were flanking me, and they were throwing grenades, and they had flamethrowers, and I was dying, and it blew my mind. Like, I did not see that coming, and I was like, the NPCs just checkmated me. What the hell? So.
Now, you enjoy the combat in Mass Effect, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
I like it.
More than most people.
No, I do like the combat in Mass Effect. I think it's fun. I never had a problem with it.
Okay. So for a lot of people, the combat's the weakest part of Mass Effect, and that DLC just focused on combat, like, 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, it's...
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
That's actually not why I don't like Arrival a lot.
Yeah, really?
The reason I don't like Arrival is a terrible story. Like, I was so pissed off by the fact that they're clearly pointing at this one choice that you can have that could have massive ramifications, and, like, they give you... They lead up to it, they build up to it, and it's, like, all these things, and then I'm expecting this choice to happen, and it never does. I don't get that choice. Like, everything in Mass Effect is about, okay, like, one path or the other, and they, like you're right there. You can choose to do one of two things. It's like, okay, I can fight the Reaper... Well, I shouldn't spoil it. Whatever. You can like they give you such a good option. They set it up and you could go through fucking hell and torture yourself and probably fuck shit way up. But I don't know, it was a legitimate moral choice that I wanted to see in a game, and I was like, that's a perfect gray area. That's what I want to see in a game. This is what everybody's been claiming, like, wanting for since they started bitching about, like, moral choices are just black and white and all these other things. No, that's a legitimate moral choice, and they didn't give it to me. They talk about it the entire time. No, nothing.
That was really disappointing to me, too. I was kind of bummed about that they offer a choice and then they don't. And actually, that's what Dragon Age 2 does a lot of. They pretend to give you choices,
yep,
and then they really don't. So, hopefully Mass Effect 3 won't do that. Okay, but anyway, was there anything else that you were playing, Abel, or are you just going to be getting Legacy?
I'm possibly going to pick up Deus Ex, but right now I'm looking more forward to Gears of War 3 and like paying off all of my other pre-orders. I have like 9 games I'm going to buy this holiday.
Yeah, God, this season's going to be ridiculous.
Are any of you guys getting Dead Island?
I'm going to check it out. I'm gonna get it on Gamefly, but I'm a little hesitant because I don't like scary games, and that game looks fucking scary. Like, that game looks nuts.
It's actually more survival than scary. Like, the zombies are like, they don't pop out of dark places or anything. It's just horrible.
It looks too real. I mean, I like a certain level of realism in my games, but when it looks that real, I find it a little creepy.
The graphics are too good.
Yeah, like, I never thought I would say that, but yeah.
Well, I won't get into what I think real fear is.
Yeah, this isn't a philosophical discussion, Liam.
Yeah, but, I don't know, from everything I've seen and heard, it looks like they may have actually managed to pull off, like, legitimate fear in a game. So I'm really holding out for that. I've got my fingers crossed, but...
I mean, I definitely want to play.
Because I like being scared.
Alright, so I'm the only one that hasn't answered my question. What have I been playing? Oh, I've been playing Oblivion. I'm getting ready for Skyrim, and I never finished Oblivion. I've been playing that. I didn't do, like, I put, like, maybe 40 hours into it, and then I just stopped playing it.
Was that a snicker
thing? Okay, yes, because I don't think anybody should ever finish Oblivion. I hate the single-player campaign so much. I hate actually going into Oblivion in Oblivion. Like Dark Brotherhood and all the side missions, this is so much better than the main quest. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, I don't really care about the main quest all that much, but, what I've been doing is I've been going through and, you know, you have to kind of do that cheat for your leveling so that you don't get your ass kicked by the monsters. So I'm still level one. I think I've put about 40 hours into it again. And but I've been going through. I'm just stealing everything. If it's not nailed down, if I can carry it, I'm picking it up and I'm taking it. So I had some issues there because I was stealing so much stuff. I couldn't carry it all. And I thought that by putting it in a barrel, I was being clever. And it turns out that those reset after a certain amount of time, which I didn't know. So I had to go and get a house. So I had to do a quest for that. And then I've been doing the thieves quest so I could get fences, so I could sell the fences. And I've already sold, I think, 600 gold worth of stolen stuff, and I haven't sold it all yet. I'm waiting so I can get my my mercantile skill up and sell it for more. I've got about 3,000 gold now. And,
Damn.
Yeah, the only quest I did was to get the house so I could have a place to store all my shit.
And you're, okay, 3,000 gold at level 1?
Yes.
She's not leveling.
I'm not leveling.
40 hours in, I'd imagine you'd be a couple levels.
Yeah, no, up. I'm not. I've got everything else leveled except for my main. I'm about halfway through level 1 because I just haven't been leveling that stuff. I've been very careful not to. I lied. I did. I also did a Mage's Guild quest so I could get some extra money because I needed it at the time. But that was before I could fence stuff. But I've joined all the guilds so I could go in there and take all their stuff without it being stealing because it's harder to steal from them.
My favorite part about this is that you refuse to use the command console.
Nope, I'm not going to do it.
I will not cheat in this game, but you're going to steal everything.
Yes. I have been incredibly successful, actually, in stealing stuff. And I've discovered... I feel bad exploiting this, but I've discovered if you walk in to a person's home, they sometimes won't move. They just stay in one spot. And if you walk in and sneak, and you're not wearing any armor, like if you're just wearing plain clothes... they won't turn around and look at you. So you can walk around their entire house without them actually going near you are looking at you or following you, because they'll follow you, you know? Mm-hmm. So if they don't, if they start following me, I'll leave and come back, and I'll keep doing that until they get stuck.
I like the way you play. I love stealing things. I'm a douche.
No, that's all I've been doing this entire game.
Steal.
Oh, I did stop stealing for a little bit, though. I got a quest to do scamps. You get the staff, and it gives you infinite scamps. So I've just been leveling up my hand-to-hand combat, because every time you kill the scamps, they respawn. So I just left town, and I'm just punching the shit out of all the scamps. So I stopped stealing so I could level some stuff up.
All right, so we've got a few questions here before we wrap up.
Great questions here.
We do have some great questions. Let's see. Let's start with, do you guys, this is from Steven Hansen, another one of our interns who was on last episode. Do you consider yourself superior to gamers with less refined palates? Like those guys that like Dude Bro Shooters and sports games? And do you find yourself able to talk to such people about games without feeling uncomfortable or insincere?
Okay, so in our last episode, I remember saying that I did feel superior to them. After working the midnight launch from Madden 12, I can say I'm absolutely superior to them. Because I swear to God, half of them came in the store just reeking of weed, completely fucking stoned. Like with Cheetos and ginger ale.
What's wrong with Cheetos, ginger ale, and weed?
Because they're just, I don't know, like some of them were dumb enough to actually just like, launch it out and like try to sell it to me and shit.
Okay,
like,
that's dumb.
It's not smart. You're not a smart person to do that.
Wow. That's classy.
That's so different from your answer last time we talked about this.
Yeah.
I love it. Daniel, do you ever feel superior to gamers with less refined palates?
Yes. By
Man,
a lot.
Listeners, this is confirmed. We are all elitist pricks.
I honestly don't feel they deserve to exist in the same realm that I live in. I think that they aren't worthy of their gaming existence, and that they should have the 360s taken away from them and given to me, because I deserve them way more than they do.
All right, and Daniel is king elitist prick.
I will happily accept this. I would go toe-to-toe with Jim Sterling on elitism and shit. He's a counter-elitist. Yeah.
I mean,
I duke it out. I duke it out.
He would annihilate you, dude.
He seems pretty scrappy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait,
Would he even get into a fight? Like, I've heard he's a pretty nice guy, and he seems pretty nice. Would he actually get into a fight with you, or would he be like, dude, don't be a cunt, and then laugh?
Well, given what he did at Destructoid Live at PAX, I'm guessing he would challenge me to a dance-off and then have a heart attack and die. Because that's apparently what happened at the thing. He had a fake heart attack and fake died.
I really wish that video would go up, because I want to see it so bad.
Is it not up? Like...
Nope.
Dude, I got to paint Jordan DeVore's face all pretty. It was awesome.
Don't spoilers, dude. Spoilers. Don't ruin it for me when I see it. I don't want to hear about it. I wanna be fresh for when I view it with my eyes.
I
Okay. So
I don't know, I mean there's a difference between like console elitism, which is what pisses me off, and like feeling elitist compared to people who don't play games that are good.
But I mean, seriously, like, and I do feel superior, but I'm gonna argue against you guys here for a minute. You know, video games are not, I mean, yeah, they can be art, and yeah, they can have a deeper meaning, and they can be beautiful stories. But when it boils down to it, you know, people play video games because they're looking for entertainment, and they want to have fun, and they want to be engaged. And, you know, if somebody who plays Farmville all day can get that same level of enjoyment, and can be engaged, and can spend as much time having fun as somebody who plays Demon's Souls or who plays Mass Effect or who plays Ico, I mean, it's, yes, it's not, you know, we don't see it as good. Like, I kind of look down on people who just play Farmville and think they're gamers. But, you know, honestly, if they're having fun and enjoying it, then the mission, I mean, it's, the goal has been achieved. Like, then the company who made that game has achieved what they set out to do.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I should clarify my previous statement. I don't care what you play. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I played Black Ops for a few hours the other night because, you know, it's, I really do enjoy it. And, so I'm not really a dick.
All right, so while everyone else is clarifying, let me clarify too. My view on this is that, like, because, like, those type of people tend to have more condescending attitude. Like, they like to flaunt, like, when you try to talk to them about anything, like, game related, they're like, oh, well, I mean, I don't really play games, and say it like it's a plus, like, oh, it's a good thing that I don't really play games. So, I just basically, like, I return their condescending nature with my own.
Okay, see, I haven't run into any people that are like that.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Did you actually go to high school?
Yeah. Dude. Okay, first off, I was in band.
Oh, wow. Okay, you got me beat.
I was on the drum line, marching band. Okay. So, okay. Everyone I hung out with was pretty nerdy and pretty stoned. So, I don't really know.
But not you, right, though, because you don't endorse
not drug use. Not even.
Right? Yeah.
It is an herb, okay? Do your research. It's an herb.
It is medicinal.
It has to be, in order for it to be a drug, you gotta add some shit in there. You don't add anything.
No, that's 100% true, man. I agree.
It is.
I don't. It is. But that's true. I support its existence.
But you don't do it because it's illegal in your state.
Exactly. If it was legal, I would probably be all over it.
Yeah. So.
If it was legal, I would do LSD, and that's probably the only drug I would want to do.
We're not going to talk about drugs on this podcast, because, you know, we're a whole
group
of people. Yeah.
This is a fucking
God
family
damn
show.
Damn it.
You said cunt earlier. How's this a family show?
Daniel, shut the fuck up. I swear to God.
I...
So, okay, anyway.
Yes, questions.
Also, Steven thinks I'm super rad. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, okay. I'm sing-songy.
Yeah.
Does anyone else think I'm sing-songy?
I think you need to let that go, dude.
No, it hurts me.
What does that mean? Like, sing a lot, or...?
No, like, okay. Apparently,
he has a melodious
my voice is very song-like.
No.
Okay.
You just sound like an average dude. I don't really know. You don't sound like a singer. Like, you don't sound like Prince, if that's what they're saying.
I don't know.
God, you would make so much money if you sounded like Prince.
It's been bothering me this time. Anyway.
I don't think you sing songy.
Okay.
All right, another question.
I don't see where they're coming
from. Another question. Okay, how do you feel about co-op gameplay? We were talking about Call of Duty earlier, so I feel this is appropriate. How do you feel about co-op gameplay being shoehorned into the campaign or story mode of a lot of games? This is also by Stephen. He had some pretty decent questions, and he thinks I'm super rad, so we're going to go with another question from him.
Yeah, the best co-op games are the ones where both players are equally important and just as involved.
And I think that's a really good point. I totally agree.
It still just really bugs me when I see games that have the multiplayer added in for no reason. And I know that, you know...
That's what I said.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing with you. Like, from a business end, I know it makes sense and it sells copies and whatever. But there are some games that just don't need it and it pisses me off.
Yeah, so, it's...
Yeah, I completely agree, but it's okay. It's difficult to talk about this because we talked about it last time,
right?
Okay. I hate it when anything is shoehorned into the game. Like I'm an editor for like another thing on the side, and when somebody like just adds a whole bunch of like words that aren't necessary or something like that. It drives me nuts when people do that in general, like with anything. Like okay, Okami, great game, loved it to death, but only for like the first 20 hours. It lasted way too long. They build up to like this main epic sequence, and then you complete that, and then it's like, oh shit, that's like one third of the game. There's like a whole new set of things to do. It's like jerking the audience around that it's not really satisfying, I think. And to pull that like into the general game stuff, when you have like a whole bunch of shitty things just tacked onto a game, like multiplayer in Dead Space 2 or whatever, like it's just, it weakens the product as a whole. Because you can't look at it and say, you know what, there's a fucking great game. You have to look at like the bad parts as well. And then you have to start taking points off if you're like doing a review or whatever. It's just, I don't know. Just leave it out. Leave it out. It has no purpose. It's not going to make your game sell better, I promise.
No, I totally agree. We had this in Resistance 1, the first Resistance game that came out. You know, you're playing it, and if you play co-op, it follows one person. It's the main character, and I don't remember his name. I never beat any of the Resistance games.
I don't remember anything about those games.
I tried really hard to beat that game, and it just... anyway.
I didn't like
that. It's... Neither did I. But, you know, you're playing the multiplayer, and the first player is the main character. Second player is some random black dude. And, you know... I ended up playing this guy, and so the entire time we're playing the game, we're cracking jokes about the fact he has no helmet, so he's probably going to die. You know, I suck at the game, so I end up dying all the time, and, you know, then there were the obligatory, this is a horror game, the black guy always dies first. It was a joke because this guy was not part of the single-player campaign. He had no story background. He was just some nameless, faceless dude that they put in there so you could play together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's the only reason I like that game, because we were all goofing on it the entire time. So.
And I love the way multiplayer was in GoldenEye on N64.
Oh, God, that was so good.
Picking between, like, you know, Bond and...
Odd job. Always do odd job.
Yep, odd job.
Odd job, you're a bitch.
006.
I am such a bitch when it comes to those kinds of things. I am dirty. I mained rogue in like every RPG ever because I just like stun locking and being a douche. I accept this.
But talking about, you know, co-op again, and with Portal did it right. Portal 2 did it right. It was a completely different game. You weren't playing the single player with two people. They made puzzles specifically for the co-op, and it was amazing. It was so good. So, I mean, that was a game where they took their time. It wasn't just shoehorned in. They said, we want to do multiplayer, we're going to do multiplayer, and we're going to devote time and energy to this.
It just makes me sad.
Why?
It's just the whole thing. It just makes me sad. The whole, like, we have to have multiplayer for games to sell. Like... We were talking about Deus Ex before it came out, and we were chatting in Outer Heaven, and Steven Hansen was joking, obviously, but he was just like, yeah, oh, what, no multiplayer, no horde mode, no buy, thanks. And he was, you know, he was just like messing around, but that's a real attitude that people have.
Yeah, which is why
some people, a small number of people, but
well,
people,
they're vocal.
And they are pretty stupid. I did have a guy come in the store the other day asking, because he wanted to pre-order Skyrim, he was so excited about it. And his deal breaker was that it didn't have a multiplayer.
Really? Who has time for multiplayer in Skyrim?
Like online, yes, capture the flag type of multiplayer.
I would be too busy playing the game to even know other people existed.
See, and what we were, that question we had earlier about, feeling superior, that is the type of person I would feel superior.
I feel superior to that guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I totally feel superior right now because I'm like, first of all, I knew that game didn't have multiplayer because I'm not a fucking moron. And second of all, why the hell would you want my multiplayer in a game that has over 300 hours of single-player content? You do not buy an Elder Scrolls game for multiplayer.
You don't, but some people do.
Well,
apparently.
Like one person.
That one guy.
One guy sent an angry letter to Bethesda. I'm not buying your game because it doesn't have multiplayer.
What the fuck, guys?
I'm gonna send a letter to him now, just for this. It's like, I refuse to buy Skyrim.
I'm going back to Madden. Fuck you, God.
That said, I think an Elder Scrolls MMO would be incredible.
Yeah, and then Bethesda's like, no, we're not gonna make
just
it.
Hear the news story. They officially announced they are not interested at all in MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's a good move because, seriously, we have so many fantasy-style MMOs around that it just...
Yeah, but after that one came out, we wouldn't. They would all die.
Yeah, maybe. I would die instantly, right?
As long as I get my Fallout MMO, I'm going to be completely happy.
Oh, that's not happening either. Too.
What the fuck? No! That can't happen!
Tomorrow morning, we're going to read about a Daniel Starkey. We don't know if it's you, but we're going to hear about one who killed himself.
I am right next to a window. I could totally fucking do this. Fallout is my life, man.
Hang on first.
Yeah, don't do this on the podcast, please.
I don't want to hear you hit the ground.
It's not like my desktop microphone would go with me.
So we're going to go ahead and edit that part out of the podcast anyway.
Well, we don't get rid of the evidence.
The harbinger of all things evil.
Let's do one more question. Mr. Dandy Man had a really good question that I wanted to get to. Is there any sort of tweaks you think your favorite games need? Some extra doohickey on the HUD? A macro you wish you could put into your Xbox game? A statistic-keeping thing that tells you how many times Mario just jumped into a hole? Etc.
What?
Like an extra mechanic or a fix to an existing problem?
You know, he doesn't really say, but it's just, he says a tweak, so I guess anything. Like, just something you'd like to see in your favorite game.
I want multiplayer in Skyrim.
Oh, good one. That's nice.
No, but I'm thinking...
Are you being serious?
No, I'm not being...
Okay. Honestly...
See, it's such a hard question to answer.
Yeah, there's really no good answer.
It's my favorite game. Chances are I don't really have complaints with it, and if I do, it's hard to think of them.
Right. I mean, there's been stuff that I, like, you know, I'm playing a game, and I'm like, man, it would be really cool if this was in it, but not playing the game, I really don't have anything that I'm just like, yeah,
I'll say this.
What?
I'm playing Devil Survivor right now, and it makes, like, zero use of the top screen on the 3DS. Like, it shows the map on there on occasion, and it shows, like, some character stats in fights, but I never look at it, I never have any use for it, and I guess I just feel like maybe they could have done better using the landscape.
Yeah.
You know? And I know it was the same on the, you know, the original DS as well, but
okay, I've actually got one. I did think about this really hard. And it's going to sound really shallow, and I apologize, but not really. I'm playing Oblivion right now, and I really, really wish that I didn't have to get a mod to make the characters look not assy. Because the characters all look like ass. And I know that sounds kind of shallow, but I mean, god damn it, they're so ugly! Like, all of them! It's horrible. And the backgrounds and the details are so amazing, and it's like, you guys couldn't spend 5 more minutes to make the characters look a little bit less disgusting.
The Oblivion is really bad with that. Like, this is why I'm laughing so much. It's like, the characters do look like ass. There's no other way to describe it.
It's like somebody took mashed potato and threw it on a mold and said, that's what our characters are all going to look like. Go.
Let's also zoom really close to their face just to creep you out.
It wasn't done for dramatic effect. It was done because they wanted to fuck with you. But, yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, that's the only thing in Oblivion I really have a problem with. I mean, I know aesthetics aren't everything, but... You know, when I'm playing a game and the game is primarily focused on dialogue and talking to people, I really don't want to be looking at ugly people all the time. I'm sorry. But Skyrim fixes that, so it's one more reason to be excited.
I can't wait for Skyrim. I'm gonna torch some butterflies.
What, Abel?
Real quick, one thing I would like in Fallout 3 was if, no one used that thing anymore, but the Xbox like Vision Cam, if you like map your face on there, because I can never make a character that actually looks like me. I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it just did.
I'd like that, but then I played the new Tony Hawk, or not Tony Hawk, Jesus, the new Tiger Woods earlier this year, and I have a beard, so instead of giving my character a beard, it made the bottom half of my face look like a cancer survivor. Like, my skin was black and charred, like, around my facial area.
So it's like you had a beard, but then you were smoking and fell asleep and your beard caught on fire?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe there's no beard tech for facial capture. I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. But that's kind of funny.
But...
it's, you know, and honestly, that says something about the games we're playing, is that if the biggest complaint you have is totally aesthetic...
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a huge compliment to Bethesda there, that the only big complaint I have about their game is aesthetic.
That's kind of a big complaint. Like, every single character in that game is ugly as fuck. Like, every single one of them. And it's not even a graphical thing. It's the way they were drawn. Like, that's just...
Well, it's I went and played with the thing and I figured out what it is. It's when you do the sliders... It's like they took an elasticy picture of a face and stretched it over a bust or a mold or something. And then if you want anything you want to do, it just pulls that elastic tighter, so it makes them longer. It doesn't actually like change anything. You know what I'm saying? It's so weird. It's just weird. But I also have that complaint with Mass Effect 2. I like a really detailed character creator. I want my character to look like I want my character to look, and I want it to be very detailed. And Mass Effect 2 doesn't really do that. It's very, it's just not very detailed in that. Like, Dragon Age did it really well, and I don't think Mass Effect does it, the second one does it quite as well, so I kind of wish I had more control over those, that also. Did you, Liam, have any other questions you wanted to knock out?
I don't know. I'm flipping through right now.
You want to ask one of the stupid questions for the hell of it?
I want to ask some of these more personal questions, because, Henrique GDS asked, what genre of music do you guys listen to?
Anything, really, except for rap. And I'll even listen to some rap if it's good. I don't really have a favorite genre.
I'm
from Oakland, so I was born and raised on hip hop, and lately I've been getting really into like dubstep, been discovering stuff like Daft Punk, and it's some weird ass stuff that no one's ever heard of. Like, you guys ever heard about Ryan Lewis and Symmetry?
Uh-uh.
Nope. Yeah, go look him up on YouTube. There's this one song which is a really good entry point. It's called Feel Right, and it's really good.
I'll look it up.
I've actually been listening to the Battlestar Galactica, the newer one that came out in the 2000s. I've been listening to the original soundtrack for that, and it's pretty amazing. Like, I run around in Skyrim, I'm so excited about Skyrim, I'm pretending I'm playing it, in Oblivion. I run around in Oblivion.
So, you don't even need to buy Skyrim, dude. You can just play Oblivion and pretend.
Don't be ridiculous, Liam. but I've been running around in Oblivion, and whenever I'm going to kill stuff, I have certain songs that I put on repeat. I have like an actual, like I kind of mix the songs around. So I have my calm track for when I'm sneaking around and stealing. And then I have my big crazy drums, loud music tracks for when I'm stabbing stuff. So.
So I'm originally from East Hampton, New York, out on Long Island. And there's actually a really good, like, punk hardcore scene out there. And that's what I grew up with. And, as I got older, I got more into metal and, like, post-hardcore. As, I'm still really into punk. But that's really what I'm into. You know? Just Like, I've written two or three stories about being at Warped Tour, which I didn't even think that would happen. But, you know, I go to Warped Tour every year. It's amazing. I love it. Love that whole scene. It's great.
Hmm. Well, I'm from Oklahoma, so one would think that I would be super into country. But, I mean, I don't think it's bad, actually. Like, I think there's some pretty defensible stuff in that, all up in that. I do really love folk music, though. I also love anything that is in the line of musical evolution from basically, like, jazz all the way up to modern techno. And you can, like, trace that shit. Like, it goes, like, jazz, blues, gospel music, and then move into rock and roll, and then, like, it steadily becomes, like, rap, hip-hop, and then techno, and then disco, and, like, all those other things. And then it just, like, steadily moves. Like I love that entire chain of things.
So you listen to everything.
Practically. Anything with, I don't know, like, I can't even describe it. Like, but the thing that I listen to most, though, is just any form of electronic dance music, usually within the past 20 years. Like, I honestly like dubstep, but I'm really picky with it. I'm huge into drum and bass, huge into trance, really loved big beat, like, a huge fuck ton of, like, subgenres of techno. Like, the Dutch have Haber, which is really hardcore, crazy-sounding techno. So, it's... Yeah, I'm obsessed with that. I love lots of other things. Like, I'll listen to Michael Jackson or rap or whatever the fuck, but techno is my thing. So, yeah.
All right, cool.
Cool. Well, let's grab a favorite ice cream flavor and then we'll wrap up.
All right. So, this needs to be quick though, because.
Yeah, we all know Liam's kind of boring on that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like vanilla. Fuck off.
Lame.
Vanilla's the best. Boring. It's perfect. You don't need to add a thing.
No, and that's the most boring part about it, is you don't add anything to it. Vanilla's boring.
You don't,
and then
no,
you make it even more boring.
There's a difference between boring and perfect.
Nope. It's boring. That is not perfect. It's boring.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Sorry.
I bet you like all the sex missionary.
Oh. Damn. Only for procreation.
Oh, of course. have you read 1984?
Yes.
Yes, we have.
If my woman doesn't act like his wife, I'm not happy. just cold, frigid, and ready to be done with it. That's how I like him.
This is the most depressing. Okay, we're going to change ice cream.
I like wedding cake. Wedding cake is my favorite flavor of ice cream. There's an ice cream shop here in Minnesota that sells wedding cake flavored ice cream, and it's fucking delicious.
I'm a big fan of peppermint chocolate, and it's peppermint chocolate chip. I'm sorry, and it's peppermint chunks dipped in chocolate, and then little chocolate flakes, and it's pretty amazing.
Is it like in peppermint ice cream?
I don't know. It's the place I would get it was a local place for where I used to live, and it was I don't know how they made it, but it was just the peppermint chunks, and I don't know if it was peppermint ice cream or if it was like vanilla ice cream with peppermint chunks in it. So it tasted like peppermint. I'm not really sure.
Gotcha.
I don't know how they make the ice creams, Liam. I'm sorry.
Well, I know how they make vanilla, so there's that.
Yeah, because it's the most boring flavor ever.
Oh, God.
So what about you, Abel?
I recently discovered Ben & Jerry's, you know, the late night snack? You guys ever heard of that one?
Uh-uh.
All right, so basically it's vanilla ice cream with chocolate fudge swirls, and then they add caramel swirls, but the caramel is salted. And then they throw in, sorry, bear with me on this part, it's potato chips covered in fudge.
Wait. Potato chips?
Potato chips
what?
Covered in fudge. It sounds so fucking disgusting, but it is amazing.
Huh.
I'm going
to
take
try.
Guys, anywhere, if you can, like, make it over to 7-Eleven in the next couple of days, go check it out. That or American Cone Dream, which is
Just
the Stephen Colbert one?
Yes.
Oh, you know that one? Yeah.
Oh, man. So good.
You know, and I seriously, I'm not going to lie, I only bought that because it was Stephen Colbert ice cream, and it tasted amazing. Like, I was pleasantly surprised.
All right, so I think that about wraps it up. Why don't you guys tell our wonderful listeners, all two of them, where they can find you online?
I'll go first. Yeah, you can catch my stuff on the Destructoid front page, also at DC Starkey. That's on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
It is the Twitter.
Okay.
I say the Twitter and Facebook, and I've got weird names for things. There's no Facebook, just Facebook.
You sound like my grandma.
Yeah, that's right. Old people make up weird names for stuff.
You on that book face there, Liam?
How's that my book?
Oh, man. Okay, so what about you, Abel? Where can the peoples find you?
You can find me on Destructoid. What else? Xbox Live and PSN, BakerMan30. That's it.
So you don't have the Twitters?
No Twitters, no Facebook.
Lame.
You just avoid all the social networking, and honestly, I can't really blame you.
Not me either.
I just more avoid people. Yeah.
I really can't blame you. So.
People suck.
Dude, yeah. People are delicious. Wait.
Oh, God.
That came out wrong.
You suck at the window up? Just go jump out right now.
I didn't mean it like, fuck it. No, and that's exactly how I meant it. People are delicious. Fuck it.
Man, this is just so creepy. This is creepy, creepy
cast.
Wait,
what did you say?
He admitted to being a cannibal.
Oh, okay.
I didn't admit to being a cannibal. I just heavily...
People are delicious. Quote, unquote.
I could be licking people, and just maybe they taste good from that. Like,
that is not less creepy.
I'd rather you just eat them.
Yeah.
It would be salty, actually.
Okay, so this...
I mean, if they freshly showered...
You people keep making this podcast creepy, and I keep having to stop you.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Alright.
Oh, man. That's too far.
God, you guys. Alright. So you can find me on the front page. Every day I do the news, so I'm always there. And you can also find me on Twitter. I'm at Victoria Medina, I think. Maybe. Because I never get on, so I don't know. I think it's Victoria Medina. It's either that or Victoria D. Medina. But either way, you should look me up. Find me and follow me. I'm totally boring and have nothing interesting to say ever. But you should still follow me because I want to get over 100 followers. And, yeah, I also have Google+. This is Victoria Medina. You can find me on there, too. So, yeah.
You're going to, same deal with the front page, Detoid. And I'm on Twitter at LP Fisher. And you can find me on Facebook. I'm probably the only Liam Patrick Fisher there. Just do it. And in Outer Heaven chat, if you haven't been in there, you should. We're awesome in there.
Yep.
That's where I waste my days. I think Conrad gets a little frustrated because he'll assign a story, and then like 6 hours later I finish writing it.
I like how much more formal your team is than the PC team. It's just like, whenever you get around to it, it's aight. Comrades,
yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, we had a meeting before you got, or before PAX got underway. It was like me, Victoria, Brett, and Conrad over Skype.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, guys, we scheduled out who was posting what on what days, like all this video content that was going up, and it felt so like legit. That I forgot that I wrote for a video game site.
Yeah, that was a little weird to be actually like doing business stuff. It was a little surreal.
Yeah, and then none of that content got up, and I was like, oh god, all of this planning and nothing happened.
Yeah, I mean, but that was kind of to be expected. It was
yeah, and I should have expected that. But...
PAX is okay. I'm still working on shit from PAX. That's a clusterfuck. Like everyone is busy/drunk all the time for forever. Like it's nuts. Tara Long kicked me in the testicles. That's That's the kind of time you have at PAX.
Wasn't that how she says hello?
Yeah, that's how she says hello.
Okay, I thought so.
I'm glad I'm not a guy. If I meet her, maybe she'll just give me a handshake.
That sucks, honestly. Like, if any guy has never been kicked in the balls before, it's the worst thing.
The worst is actually, like those little flicks, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Because then they sting for, like, 10 minutes afterwards. It's just,
God. And there's, like, a 10-second delay between, like, when it happens and when you feel the pain.
Yeah.
I'm done trying to keep this podcast on track.
Alright, we're done.